The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. From the Gospel for this day, St. Mark chapter 6, beginning at verse 17, Herod had sent and seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he had married her. For John said to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him. From ancient times, this 29th day of August has been kept in remembrance of the martyrdom of St. John the Baptist. The appointed prayer for this day, which was prayed at the altar just a few moments ago, speaks of how John was the forerunner of the Savior, both in his preaching of repentance and also in his innocent death. And we pray that we may daily repent of our sins, patiently suffer for the truth's sake, and fearlessly bear witness to the Savior's victory over death. The story of John's martyrdom, as told by St. Mark in his Gospel, is a thoroughly unsavory tale. Herod Antipas, the ruler of Galilee, had married Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and in doing that, he had very openly sinned. In the sixth commandment, God forbids adultery, and in the tenth commandment, forbids coveting someone else's wife. And since sin against any commandment involves sin against the first commandment, "You shall have no other gods," Herod was also guilty of the sin of idolatry, which tempts us all. For whenever you and I prefer our will, our desires, to the known revealed will of God, we are in fact making an idol, because we are trying to make God in our own image, in the image of one who condones whatever it is we want to do. In the face of Herod's sin, John speaks the plain truth to him. "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." Because John had said that, Herodias hated him. She had a tremendous grudge against him, believing that her position as Herod's wife would never be secure as long as John lived, and so she kept looking for an opportunity to destroy him. Her opportunity came when, on his birthday, Herod gave a party for his courtiers, officers, and the leading men of Galilee. No doubt, the wine flowed freely. And Herod was so enchanted with the dancing of Herodias, his daughter, that in the presence of all the merrymakers, he promised Herodias' daughter anything she wanted, up to half his kingdom. Here was Herodias's long-awaited opportunity, for when her daughter asked her what to ask for, Herodias quickly replies, "The head of John the Baptist." St. Mark tells us that when Herodias' daughter then went to Herod and asked for the head of John the Baptist on a platter, Herod was exceedingly sorry. Now he was in a fix. Because on the one hand, Herod knew, as St. Mark also tells us, that John was in fact a righteous and holy man. And though perplexed by what John had to say, Herod heard him gladly. But on the other hand, Herod didn't want to lose face with all the powerful men of his kingdom who'd heard his promise. What would they think of him if he broke the promise he'd given? What would that do to his kingly power, his ability to rule? St. Mark tells us Herod was exceedingly sorry, but because of his oaths and his guests, he didn't want to break his word, and so he sends a soldier of the guard with orders to bring the head of Herod. Here we see how one sin can so easily lead to another sin. Herod's sin of coveting his brother Philip's wife led to the sin of adultery, and the sin of adultery led to the sin of murder. Herod sending one of his soldiers to kill an innocent man, the holy forerunner of the Lord. Innocent John was killed because Herod didn't want to lose face with his guests, with the powerful men of his kingdom. So we might ask ourselves, do you and I ever, like Herod, fear the loss of face more than we fear God? Unlike Herod, John feared God. John indeed feared, loved, and trusted in God above all things. God had appointed him to prepare the way of the Savior, and John did just that. God had appointed him to preach repentance, and preach repentance he did, even to King Herod. But Herod did not accept that call to repentance. That call to repentance was unwelcome. The call to repentance is still unwelcome. I think we'll all agree that we are at present passing through tumultuous days. The world continues to suffer the ravages of a pandemic that brings with it anxiety and fear, sickness, and even death. And the daily news is filled with wars and rumors of war, with earthquake, famine, fire, and flood. Now, God's judgments are, as St. Paul writes, unsearchable, his ways past finding out. For who knows the mind of the Lord? But this much surely is certain. Through all of this, our merciful Maker is calling the world to repentance. John the Baptist preached repentance, and in preaching repentance, he prepared the way for the Savior. John points to Christ saying, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Your sin and my sin, all our failures, all our doubting of God and his promises, all our easy accommodation to the world which knows not God, all our insistence on our way rather than his." The Lord Jesus answered for all our sin. He is the Lamb once slain for us, now the exalted Lamb, who wonderfully gives the body and blood of his once for all sacrifice to be our food and drink, forming lives that shine with his love in the times of happiness and through all the dreary days. As we continually give thanks to the Lord, who in this holy sacrament joins us to himself and to one another and to all the saints in life, with a love that holds through death. To him be glory with the Father and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. And now let us stand and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,